Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Face Turn Podcast here on the Sports Insanity Network. I'm your host, Noah Trombley, joined as always by Mike, the Pun Master Rifkin, and Lawrence Patchman Lang. Gentlemen, I've had a crazy week of wrestling. How you guys doing?
Oh, it's been a crazy week. I'm tired. This time difference for us recording is a little weird still. Because you had to be on Central Standard Time now.
I'm the special boy. I gotta be.
And you Texas, you Texas boy, you.
Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I didn't have to pay anyone $12 million.
Oh, well, we're
pretty good.
We're going right into it. Mike just brought it up. Yes. So me and Mike reported a couple weeks ago about the Vince McMahon allegations about an alleged hush money affair of about $3 million to a former WWE paralegal that he allegedly had an affair with. And he paid a non-disclosure agreement to this woman of about $3 million so she would keep quiet about the affair. Well, much more has come out in a new report by the Wall Street Journal, a follow-up report by the Wall Street Journal. According to Joe Palazzolo, Ted Mann, and Joe Flint of the Wall Street Journal, quote, this is an article from Bleacher Report, McMahon not only has paid the $3 million to the one woman, but he has also paid four different women. So four women in total. So they found three other women in total that he's paid non-disclosure agreements to, totaling more than $12 million over the past 16 years in exchange for their silence regarding alleged infidelity and sexual misconduct. Quote, among the three newest allegations is one from a former WWE wrestler who said McMahon coerced her into giving him oral sex, demoted her, and then declined to renew her contract in 2005 when she refused to engage in additional sexual encounters. The woman and her attorney reportedly negotiated a $7.5 million settlement with McMahon in 2018. And then in 2008, a WWE contractor reportedly presented the company with nude photos McMahon sent her and said he sexually harassed her on the job, leading to a non-disclosure agreement and $1 million payout. And then the earliest payout was given in 2006 when a former WWE manager was given $1 million to remain silent about an alleged sexual relationship with McMahon. So, man, guys, we thought this rabbit hole went deeper than the first allegation. And, well, the rabbit hole has gone way deeper than this. So, to recap, we are now up to four different women are coming out, or four different non-disclosure agreements are being released saying that McMahon has paid almost $12 million in non-disclosure agreements for infidelity and sexual affairs for the last 16 years. So that would be since 2006. Oh, Mike, I'll throw it to you first. Your reaction to hearing all these new allegations.
Good. Going to start on a lighter side. Imagine just having $12 million there to burn away. Yeah. That's the first thought. Gross. It's all gross. It's all disgusting. And Vince McMahon needs to go away. Because this kind of behavior should not be tolerated, especially in a workplace where you are the figure. We can talk all we want about the people who are on screen, off screen. We can talk about whoever we want. Vince McMahon is the entire WWE. It's his phenomenon. It's what he's built. It's his empire. And I'm not going to say it's crumbling, because I can't say that, but his status of, well, you never hear anything about Vince McMahon. Well, now that's come to a crashing halt, and it'll change everyone's perspective of Vince McMahon. And I think at first, the way he went about it at first, because it came out the first news, and then immediately he was on both SmackDown opening up the show, and then he was on the Raw hyping up the John Cena return. And then it was, okay, he really just doesn't care. And he knows what he's doing. And then, boom, this news hit this morning. And it's, okay, this is way worse than what we know. It's time for the board of directors to step in and say, go. Walk off into the sunset, never to be seen or heard from again. Because now, let's be realistic here. We will have to wait. He will have to wait at least posthumously to get into the Hall of Fame, because you can't do it right. Can't do it when he's alive currently. So everything about Vince McMahon now has turned in the worst. And now you just got to say, you know what? Let's wipe our hands of this, and he has to step aside. Let Stephanie run the company. Let Triple H do what he's got to do, and you manage from there. But Vince McMahon needs to step down immediately.
Patchy, what are your thoughts on this?
It's quite crazy, you know, because Rifkin hit a nail in the coffin pretty hard. We never really heard much of McMahon outside of the WWE and what goes on in his personal life, because Vince is WWE and WWE is Vince McMahon, practically, because Vince McMahon created the WWE when he bought from his father back in the late 80s, early 90s, and turned it into the WWF. And then, you know, hey, publicly traded company, I think in 04, I believe. I think the company went public, or 03, one of those 2 years. And Vince McMahon is that figurehead, you know. Sponsors want to go in. And, you know, WWE's changed over the years. You know, we went out of the PGA. Yeah. We went out of, you know, post-Ruthless Aggression era into the PG era, where, you know, WWE was like, hey, after a certain incident that happened in 06, WWE went PG, you know, and that's how more sponsors came in. Now it's like, what do the sponsors do with this situation? Like, do sponsors pull themselves out because of this? Or, like Rifkin said, the board directors need to step and say, hey, Vince, you just, like Rifkin said, you need to go. Company's going to be fine without you. But it's time for you to take a step back, because ultimately this is going to end up being a court case, and most likely Vince McMahon might go to jail for this.
Yeah. Because I think I know where you're going, Patchy, is that if he used company money to pay these non-disclosure agreements, that's illegal.
It's a little illegal, and unfortunately you get to do some time for that. But it was weird, you know, when the news broke a few weeks ago. Okay, Vince didn't care. He just came out, hyped up SmackDown. The fans were behind him. Raw, he comes out, the fans are still behind him. He comes out for John Cena Appreciation Night for 20 years. Fans are still going crazy. Now it's like, if he tries to come out again, it's going to be like a flip of a switch, and the fans are just going to boo the living out of him.
Yeah, you're right on this, and I agree with everything you guys just said. You know, this is just disgusting. It's we're really kind of reaching a new point with this, because Mike, you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, like I mentioned, and I mentioned this. You know, the thing that was kind of not good about the situation, but not bad about the situation, was when we heard about the one non-disclosure agreement. It was still a consensual affair, like the woman went along with it,
right?
And so it was just, oh, he's just, you know, bad for trying to pay off her silence. Now we're getting these other three non-disclosure agreements, And these are way worse. Now we're entering the area of discussing. He's trying to coerce her into sex. He's punishing her for when she won't do it. You know, the one about the wrestler, to quote the article again, after she said no, McMahon declined to renew her contract in 2005 when she refused to engage in additional sexual encounters. So
this wrestler? I would love to know.
They have not released her name. They want to keep her
public. And they shouldn't.
Right. They want to keep it private.
And they should keep it private.
Unless she wants to do it. Obviously, there's been some rumors of who it could be, but we won't get into that out of respect for this woman's privacy. But yeah, this is where this is now. This has gone from something that's just a trying to put this the right way. This has gone from just a embarrassment to evil, basically. That's how I'll put it. Because again, like we said, in the first non-disclosure agreement, it was just a consensual affair that he was just trying to cover up. So it's like, oh, why are you trying to cover it up? Now we're uncovering the rest of the truth and it's getting ugly. And I totally agree with you guys. You know, Vince has to go away. This has to be the end of the McMahon era. It sucks that it would come like this. It sucks that it would come from a scandal that's going to erupt and it's going to force him out of the company. Because, yeah, you're right, Patchy. If he comes out again on Raw or SmackDown, the crowd will turn on him so much. Again, I think because of the first time, it was just him trying to cover up an affair. People were like, "Oh, it didn't seem as big a deal back a couple weeks ago." Now it's not saying it wasn't a big deal back then, if you know what I'm saying, but now it's like
it's gotten worse gradually. Worse. And today is the explosion.
This is the other straw.
Part. Right. This is where. Boom goes dynamite. The other part, like you said, there was a superstar cut in 05 because she wouldn't.
Well, not cut, but they declined to renew her contract.
Declined to renew her contract.
Cut, you know, I guess, same thing.
How many other, like, this is one we know of. How many other times did he at least attempt with another superstar to try to advance their career? Because let's face it, if this person did what he said, who knows how high they would have been pushed or how far they would have gotten in the standard of the company. So how many other times has he tried with superstars? That is something to look for because
you know, I'm this is from my personal, from seeing this, I don't think he would have tried it with some of the newer superstars who knows he might have, but thinking about late Attitude Era, like, early Ruthless Aggression,
right?
Era,
like he's taken a lesser role over the years when it comes to development.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, he was all around.
He was everything.
So how many times did this happen? And that from a fan perspective, like none of us have kids, but if you had a daughter right now, do you go and take your daughter to one of these events knowing who you're supporting in all of this?
I don't think I would. I think that's why the board of directors needs to act now and put out the statement of, okay, we're not putting up with this. After finding all this out, we have, because they have the power to do that. They have the power to let Vince McMahon go, and they can force him out of his positions. And I think that they need to make the statement very, very soon, within the week, that they need to make the statement of, he is gone. We're not putting up with this, by Vince McMahon.
If they don't make this statement by Monday, and I'm deadlining it by Monday, because
I'm in agreement. Monday.
I'm gonna take a wild guess. They're not gonna make an announcement over the weekend.
No,
just wild guess. So you make that announcement Monday morning. That way, there's nothing hanging over the cloud of Raw that he can randomly appear like he has the past couple of weeks.
Right, exactly. I think that definitely is a good deadline for them to make this announcement. And it, here's another, just another layer to this, because when I saw this number, over 16 years, $12 million. Now, I know when we say like Vince McMahon's, you know, say overall worth, that doesn't seem like a lot. But think about what the average WWE wrestler gets paid. They get paid, you know, 100, 200 grand a year. Think of how many contracts you could buy with that money, or you could pay with that money. And Mike, we mentioned it when the first one came out. How many of these cuts over the last few years have been due to you having to pay out this money? Because the first one, the ex-wrestler and McMahon made the negotiated the settlement in 2018. So let's just assume, you know, a lot of times with these settlements, the payments don't start for a couple of years after the settlement's reached, you know, with to work out the legal stuff and all that kind of stuff. So now you're thinking, oh man, that puts us in 2020. Think of all the cuts that happened due in 2020 from WWE. If it's revealed that there's a connection between all of these non-disclosure agreement payouts and the wrestler cuts, oh, there's a storm brewing in with wrestling fans.
Not just a storm brewing.
It's here.
No, hold on. That would that could also create another lawsuit. These people could go, I got fired because of this, not because of me or my actions. What got me fired was a 70 some odd year old man wanted to have an affair for no reason.
Well, other than I don't know if it's true or not, but I think Mickey James tweeted that you know, she goes, oh, that's why I didn't get a raise.
Yeah, Mickey James was one of the first ones to come out and basically hint at this could have been a factor in her contract and why she was let go from WWE in late, I believe it was late 2019 or early 2019. It was somewhere in 2019 she was let go from the company because she wanted more money and she felt she was earning more money and they didn't give it to her. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of backlash. And here's the thing. That's why, you know, Mike, I totally agree with you now. The deadline is set for the board of directors. You get the weekend to figure all this stuff out, figure out who's going to take over, figure out what you're going to do on Raw. You get the weekend to figure all that out. But Monday morning, you need to announce that Vince McMahon's gone.
I'll be nice. Monday by noon.
Fair enough.
Is when I want this.
It's
simplicity at its finest. Stephanie continues her role of CEO. Is that what?
Yeah, she basically takes over.
Basically, she take. If you want some help, elevate Triple H to help her out too. You know, everyone. It's all hands on deck because he has to go now.
And here's another thing is that once you make this announcement, you have to open up Raw with a public address saying where we, you know, I think it was 2018 when they came out and said, you were entering a new era. You have to, I think what you should do is on Monday Night Raw, you have Triple H and Stephanie McMahon both come out and say, we have dealt with this. We are in a new era of WWE. And we will be better. We'll be a better company. We'll be a better wrestling promotion than what we were. We will not live in Vince McMahon's shadow.
And you want to make it bigger? You want to make it huge? Everyone's out on the ramp also.
Yeah.
Listen, that signifying you're together in all of this.
Because this is one of those moments where this is bigger than any storyline.
Yes.
This is bigger than any kind of kayfabe that you need to keep. It's bigger than all of that because, yeah, this has been a dark cloud over WWE. And because and like Patchy said, you know, even if for some reason the WWE board of directors comes to the agreement that Vince McMahon will keep his position, there's still lawsuits that could come from this, and there's still jail time that could face Vince McMahon in the future. So you just got to wash your hands with this now. So, yeah, so that is all the new information. So, guys, anything else to add on the new Vince McMahon allegations?
The clock starts ticking, board of directors. Do your job.
Do the right thing here, you know. We may bitch and moan about the way things are booked, but on a more serious note, this is more serious than us bitching and moaning about booking.
Yeah, this is nothing to do with booking. This is about people.
This is about people, especially, you know, the mistreatment of women here.
Yes.
So
exactly.
Get shit, or you're staying on the pot until you fix this shit, and you don't get off until it's fixed.
Yeah, board of directors, the pressure is on you to make the right call and get a toxic man like Vince McMahon out of here. And it's just insane that for years we never heard anything about Vince, and now it's all just unraveling. Everything's just coming out at once. So, all right, let's go back. Let's take a step back and let's go back into the kayfabe world of wrestling, and let's talk about Money in the Bank, which the way it should be, this could have been Vince McMahon's last ever booking of a WWE pay-per-view. And well, let's go through it, guys. We started off the night with the women's Money in the Bank ladder match, and we had Liv Morgan climbing the ladder and retrieving the briefcase to become Miss Money in the Bank. Mike, what'd you think of the match and the result?
The match was fine. I enjoy both Money in the Banks. I like the fact that they've gotten into the women's Money in the Bank too. I kind of like that. The next step is we need tag team Money in the Bank to come. That's next on the agenda. But I enjoyed it. I know we're going to go into the spoiler alert in a minute or in a few minutes because of what happened later. But I need to see what they do here with Liv Morgan, because I have a gut feeling that this turns into something else where the fans get really hyped up and it's all going to be taken away in one swoop.
I really have that fear too, Mike, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. But Patchy, your thoughts on women's Money in the Bank match?
Yeah, you know, it had its moments where it was a hair sloppy, but, you know, every match has some sloppy moments in it. We can't have a perfect match. We can have a perfect match, but it's hard to get that perfect match. Head over heels for Liv, because it's, you know, we thought the trigger was going to be pulled a couple months ago, and then they toyed with our emotions like they like to and not give us the moment for Liv. And we're going to get to in a little bit, you know, later in the show what Liv did, but I was happy at that moment when Liv won.
Yeah, I was absolutely ecstatic for Liv Morgan. You know, it's finally, like, give a new star something, you know, because last year we had, oh my God, who won last year's Money in the Bank? I can't even think now. Who won last year's Women's Money in the Bank?
Because I think Becky was the year before, because then she gave it to Asuka.
Oh my God, who the
for the title?
I can't even think now.
Thank God, fretting, as we say on SIP.
Yeah, thank God for this. We will. Let me just look real quick at who won last year's Women's Money in the Bank.
It's also midnight, people. So.
Oh my God, this is so for. It was Nikki A.S.H.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It was memorable.
Yeah, and they exactly blew the load with that.
We won't get into that one.
So it was just so hopefully they don't make the same mistake with Liv here, but just finally just give the belt, just give the briefcase, and then later on, spoiler alert, build a new star. And Liv Morgan has more than earned her right as a new star, I think, in this company, because, you know, your women's division is not very strong right now, guys. I mean, you've got a dominant champion in Bianca Belair, who we'll talk about in a few minutes, but you don't have much after her. You don't have much as far as
mid-card. I'll pose this question. We talk about, you know, this could be Vince's last pay-per-view. What if this was Triple H's first pay-per-view booking?
Because, you know what?
Because
that patch, but the result at the end of the night gives me feeling it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, what if it was half and half?
It could be.
I mean, half and half is fine. It's just
I'll just pose that question.
It's an interesting question for sure.
If it was awesome. I want to see this, though, because I think it's important. We're going to have this conversation in a minute. Everything depends on what they do from now. I'm going to guess it's SummerSlam, first defense.
Well,
it's
not gonna... why don't we get into that now, just so we can talk about it? So later on the night, Liv Morgan then came out after Ronda Rousey defeated Natalya to retain her SmackDown Women's Championship.
Mid-match.
Huh?
Metacore match, in my opinion.
Yeah. The match between Natalya and Rousey was fine. It wasn't anything bad, but it wasn't anything fantastic. So Liv Morgan comes out after Ronda has apparently injured her knee. Liv comes out, cashes in, and rolls up Ronda after Ronda got her in the ankle lock and she kicked the bad leg to win the SmackDown Women's Championship. So, I mean, but now we get to Friday Night SmackDown, and it has been announced that Liv Morgan will defend the SmackDown Women's Championship against Rowdy Ronda Rousey at SummerSlam at the end of July. So a lot to unpack here. So I was so ecstatic to see this. But then as soon as the match ended and Liv was holding the title and they did the whole hug thing with Ronda, I was like, oh no. I was like, oh no. They're going to do this, aren't they? Mike, you and I think, had the same thought. They're going to put the title on Liv, give her this crowning moment. Everyone's going nuts for her. And then Ronda's just going to crush her at SummerSlam.
You know what this is? This is Kofi Mania Women's Edition.
I know it. Maybe, but what if this is the Jericho treatment? From way back when he beat Triple H, you know, okay, we're going to give you the taste of it for a little bit, take it away from you, and then give it back to you. Let's say she has to run the table. We're going to do long-term booking here. She has to run the table at Royal Rumble and then gets her crowning moment at Mania.
Because then there's no point in doing this thing with the briefcase. In my mind,
we're talking a company here that does dumb booking decisions.
Here's the thing, Patchy. If what you said earlier was true, if this was Triple H's first booking as say like the backstage COO, and we don't know it yet, then I'm all for it. But this is this is still Vince, and this is not long term booking. This is just, you know what it is right now. The Money in the Bank and the Royal Rumble, they both feel like this. They both feel like to WWE, they're getting in the way because you want these plans to go through with take the Royal Rumble earlier this year. You want Brock Roman at Mania, but you want to put both titles on them. Well, someone's got to win the Rumble and you can't have Roman do it. So you had to have Brock do it. You had to do this convoluted thing to take the title off Brock so Brock could win the Rumble. Then he could win the title back at Elimination Chamber. So now you got to do this whole thing with Money in the Bank because now you want this match to happen at SummerSlam, but you've got to have someone win Money in the Bank. So for WWE, I feel like these events are just now an annoyance. They're just getting in the way of their plans. That's why I'm so nervous for Liv Morgan because if she had cashed in on Belair or let's say Natalya wins somehow, then I'm fine. But the fact that she did it on Ronda gets me so nervous.
And I'm wondering this because I think they be announced for next week. It's Liv, Natalya, and like one of those championship contender matches.
Yeah.
I'm wondering now, and this is just me thinking here, spitball. Natalya finds a way to beat Liv Morgan next week, whether it's a Ronda distraction or Ronda gets in Liv's head and it's a roll up, something like that. And they add Natalya and it becomes a triple threat. And Natalya just becomes the scapegoat of she'll get to tap, Ronda will get her to tap, or Liv pins her, but we're still not done with Liv Ronda. Like I'm wondering that now.
That definitely also could be where they're going with this.
But my thing is this, and I didn't mind Liv winning the title or the briefcase. I think it's awesome. My thing is, if you're gonna pull the trigger, you have to go for the whole way. So what they, in reality, they should have done, first of all, never let Ronda hand her the belt. Never let that happen. If you want them to shake hands, I'm cool with that. Maybe that gets Ronda to turn heel. Fine. Awesome. Whatever you have to do. My beef is this. If you just handed Liv the belt, cool. But now you got to go all the way. So she would have to win the SummerSlam match. Problem is, unless the curveball long-term booking thing here, what we're looking for, which would be Becky Lynch screwing Ronda, because we'll get Becky Ronda next year at Mania in LA, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, that's the thing. I just don't. And it sucks.
Also, I kind of just wish Liv would have cashed in on Bianca. That's the other part of me.
I wanted that too. I'd rather have her cashing on Bel Air.
Because, but then you're going you have to have her turn heel.
That's fine.
Liv. No, have Bianca turn heel.
Bianca Belair would be better as a heel. And I don't get me
wrong.
Wasn't
she technically a heel in NXT?
Yeah, I think she was technically a heel when she started out. That'd be interesting.
The EST thing would be so much better as a heel.
Yeah, it definitely would get interesting. But there's a lot of stuff to unpack here because me and Mike are just so nervous about this because here's the thing. If you want to do the long-term booking, that's fine. But here's the thing. Here's what I'm most worried about. I'm worried that Liv beats Natalya. She goes to SummerSlam to face Ronda one-on-one. And it's another Brock Kofi situation where Ronda. Ronda beats her in 10 seconds and just invalidates everything she just did. You wasted the briefcase again. You wasted another title win. You wasted a up-and-coming superstar. It's like, oh, I got such a bad feeling in my gut that this is just not going to go well. So, but all right, we will obviously talk about more about that when we get to SummerSlam, and we'll get to the main event of SummerSlam here in a few minutes. But let's talk about the second match on the card. So we talked about Liv Morgan's storyline. Let's talk about somebody else's storyline. That was Bobby Lashley defeated Theory by submission to win the WWE United States Championship. Let's just focus on this match first. I thought it was a fine match. It wasn't anything spectacular, but it wasn't a bad match. They executed everything great. I think they did a great job of Theory being this chicken S-word heel and really trying to just squirrel his way away from Bobby Lashley. Then Bobby's power just obliterated Austin Theory here. Mike, your thoughts?
I'm loving what they're doing with Bobby Lashley. I want him back in the world title scene. But if he's going to make the U.S. title relevant and make mid-card titles relevant, sign me up for a Survivor Series match of Bobby Lashley and Gunther. Sign me up right now if that's the match at Survivor Series.
Oh, I want that.
Because right now, that'd be the matchup.
Oh, I want that so bad. Patchy, your thoughts on the match?
Yeah, you know, when the match happened, I'm like, okay, good. Theory's not going to have the title anymore. It's justification. Bobby Lashley's U.S. champion. Yay, we're getting a break from Theory. But then there's a theory to that later in this episode.
Yeah,
Stone Cold Steve Austin theory.
The rest of the show is kind of pale in comparison to what happened in the main event. Before we get to the main event, let's just talk about the one other match that's worth talking about, and that was the Usos defeating the Street Profits to retain the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. Man, I will say this right now. I think this is my match of the year so far.
Tag team match of the year so far for me.
Especially tag team match of the year for me. But I think match of the year. Like, this was tag team wrestling at its best. We rag on the Usos as far as how much they're overpushed. But it's kind of like the Young Bucks and AEW. You can't deny that they are some of the best big-time performers in the entire company, in the entire world right now. And the Street Profits more than held their own. I mean, some of the near falls that you got in this match, I really bought the last two for the Street Profits. I really thought they're going to put the titles on the Street Profits. They really are. And I really bought all of it. This match was phenomenal. If you watch any match from Money in the Bank, go watch the Usos and the Street Profits. It was absolutely amazing. Patchy, your thoughts on the match?
Bananas, 5 stars in my book for the night, match of the night, match of the summer so far.
Oh, yeah. 5 stars for me, too.
Come on. Great. Just the amount. It shows that we're coming to an end of the Usos having the tag titles, and we're going to have the Street Profits have their moment. And hopefully they do one more match at SummerSlam, and it happens at SummerSlam. Well,
that's kind of what they sounded like they were doing it on SmackDown.
Yeah, because they had it. There was an ending to the match where it looked like Montez Ford had his shoulder up, but the ref just didn't see it. So they get their rematch, basically.
They're talking like it's going to be a special referee. So,
yeah.
We always talk about Montez Ford and how he's going to be the breakout star of the Profits. Angelo Dawkins has been really good.
He's been recently. Great.
But the man, so, for his size to do the athletics,
it's kind of that old. I'm trying to think, because there are a lot of bigger guys who don't do what he does, and he's been so dynamic. But the Profits are so good. We know how good the Usos are, but it's time to move the belt off of them, because we already know how good they are. Match was sensational
with Dawkins. He, minus diving over the ropes, he reminds me of Vader a little bit, just how athletic he is. It reminds me of Vader. Like, Vader was always athletic in the ring. Yes, Vader did the moonsault from the top rope, but he never dove over the ropes, all that. But Dawkins reminds me of Vader.
And, Dawkins is 280 pounds. Vader was over 350. 300.
Yeah, 350. And Vader can still do a moonsault.
All right, All right, so that clears up the rest of the pay-per-view. Like I said, go watch Usos Street Profits. It was absolutely phenomenal. But we get to the main event, and that is the Money in the Bank ladder match on the men's side. And the original field was Drew McIntyre, Madcap Moss, Omos, Riddle, Sami Zayn, Seth freaking Rollins, and Sheamus. Notice how I said original field, because out comes Adam Pearce to announce that there is another contestant in the ladder match. And I thought, before they announced, I was like, this is interesting. Maybe it's a returning superstar. Maybe it's somehow Cody. Like, is he going to screw over Rollins? But no, it is Theory, who earlier in the night lost his U.S. championship. And the commentators were playing up how blatantly favoritism this is towards Theory, because we know his alliance with Mr. McMahon, which, and so we go through the match, and of course, because he was put in the last second, Austin Theory wins the Money in the Bank ladder match. He now has the Money in the Bank contract. Now, I want to make this clear, and I want to say for everybody out there, for the love of God, do not go after Austin Theory for all this. Do not blame Theory for what happened, what's happening with Mr. McMahon. Like, please don't, because it's not his fault.
Listen, listen, as we say, there's a difference between kayfabe and real life.
Right.
It was like in real life is not Theory's fault.
Right.
In the kayfabe world, you can hate him because, you know, he's the golden child. He's the new chosen one by Vince McMahon on screen.
Exactly. All right. So let's look at this match and let's take, as tough as that is, let's ignore all of the real world stuff going on right now with Vince McMahon and his relationship with Theory. Let's just look at the kayfabe side of this. Mike, your reaction to this.
The match itself was fine. I hate the result. Because if your plan was to have Theory win, then just put him in the original match. Just have him in the original match. I don't like the idea of him just getting randomly added. I don't like the idea of the guy who, let's face it, it's like the kid crying because he didn't get his own way kind of deal. He lost his U.S. title, so here's your reward kind of. I just don't like that idea. There were other ways this could have been done. I don't mind the Pierce coming out because, I, like you said, it could be a returning superstar. Hey, maybe, I don't know, maybe Cena comes out and Cena's the last participant, and maybe that sets up a Cena match for SummerSlam. Maybe Orton's healthier than we thought, and it's Orton, and Orton finally turns on Riddle, and we get the Riddle-Orton match or feud we were looking for. But this reeks of favoritism. This reeks of just I always like a curveball. Always like a curveball. But once he comes out, it's like he's winning. Other, they wouldn't have put him in the match if he wasn't winning.
Yeah, it's not a curveball.
You know, right. So the only curveball it would have been would be him at the top of the ladder. And remember how he came up and he handed the briefcase to the visionary, Seth freaking Rollins. That would have been the curveball. Well, but instead we just get Theory winning.
I thought for sure, and then Patchy, I'll let you go. I thought for sure it was Cena's going to screw him. This how
I wanted getting, someone to get screwed.
I thought, Cena's going to come out and do the table, and that's how you get these Theory Cena match. But no.
Or Pat McAfee screws him for WrestleMania.
Something. Patchy, your reaction to this.
You know, yeah. Once again, just add him to the match if you want him to win. Like, but then again, you still like the Adam Pearce element of surprise. Like, oh, who's going to come out? Maybe Edge is going to come out. Maybe Edge is going to make a return again. Who knows? We got to talk about that vignette, too, when we have a second, too. Because
I forgot about that.
The vignette. But, you know, Theory winning doesn't bother me because have him hold the briefcase for a while. Don't do like SummerSlam, like both Brock and Roman's down. He runs down, catches in, does the quick cover, and then he runs away with the titles. Because if you do that, you basically blew the whole bloodline.
Yeah, story. You basically kill the whole bloodline in one night.
You basically just buried Roman Reigns and the whole bloodline and the whole 2.5 year buildup of him maybe losing it one day is over.
Yeah.
Have him hold on to it, get past WrestleMania. Have him be the one that holds it for a year. You know, youngest United States champion ever. Have him hold the briefcase for a year. Why not? Let's have someone hold it officially for a year. Because we haven't had that yet with the briefcase. Have him hold it for a year.
Right.
Give him time because know, you can build it up as he tries to cash in every time and he gets squashed. Like, he doesn't have the opportunity to cash in. Mm-hmm. And then finally he has his moment and you either have him win it or you have him come up just a little bit short.
Right.
Other than that, the match was fine. You know, the typical way to take down a big man in Omos, you just bury him under ladders.
That was fun. That was, I'll admit, that was a fun spot.
And you know what? Riddle will be world champion one day too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he will be.
They will have to pull the trigger on that too, because if not, we'll have to have Riddle Mania.
Yeah, absolutely. So my thoughts about Theory winning. I hate it and I love it at the same time. I hate it because it is this blatant, just over pushing this one guy. Like you said, Mike, if he's going to be in the match, if he's going to win the match, just have him in the match.
Yeah, yeah. Have him replace, not a knock, but the world knew Omos was not ready for the briefcase.
Yeah.
So just put Theory in for him. Have Omos jumped backstage or randomly taken out. We don't know how. And Theory just takes his spot.
Right, exactly. So I hate it in that regard, but I do love it because, like I said earlier with Morgan, at least we're building somebody new. It's a new heel. It's a new superstar. It's someone else. And we're finally getting some more variety in the upper mid card, lower main event scene. Now, here's where I think this is going. And here's where I would love to go. If I'm going to put my fancy booking hat on for just a minute, see what I would love to see happen is somehow between now and the Royal Rumble, break up the world titles again. Go back to just having the WWE Championship and the Universal Championship. Break them up again and have John Cena going for whoever has the WWE Championship at the Royal Rumble. And right when it looks like Cena's going to win his 17th world title, that's when Theory cashes in. Screws John Cena out of breaking Ric Flair's record for the 17th world title. And now that kind of reignites John Cena's drive. He goes on to WrestleMania to face Theory for the WWE Championship, give Theory this big marquee match, and that's where you have Cena win his 17th world title. I would like that. I think that'd be a really fun way to, A, really build up Theory and build the chase of Cena becoming a 17-time world champion.
I personally want Orton to try to find a way to win the title a couple more times, and then we have Cena and him duke it out for 17 at WrestleMania 40.
So the problem is that does Orton want to do that?
I think he does. You know, Orton, and then, you know, if you do it, I mean, put it this way, if you want to find a way to have John Cena retire, you have both of them be 16-time world champions. Whoever wins the match becomes the 17-time champion. The other one has to retire. And you do that at WrestleMania 40, main event, Orton versus Cena.
But with what Cena does outside with all the acting,
you can't bet on that.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
It's late, so I'm going to ask it. What Mania are we going? We're going into
39.
Okay. So we're blowing it off for a year. So it's not that long term. Orton's at what, 15 reigns or 14?
14.
So he's got to win the title twice in the span of a year. And from what we've read, he's out the rest of this year with the back issue.
That's the problem.
From carrying Riddle that whole time.
It is a problem, but don't forget, WWE has played hot potato with titles before.
Oh, I know. They have.
It's not – I don't think either option is a bad option. I just think – here's the problem, Patchy, is that while the main event, having Cena Orton, is like a huge main event, we need more people in the main event scene. So elevate Theory. We need more people up there. We can't be in 2020. We can't be in 2024 and have the main event of WrestleMania be Cena Orton. I just can't. I just don't.
It would still put asses in seats, especially for that 17th reign. Just say, just saying, we're talking to W Universe here that still likes to live in the past. And if you hear a gong, everyone still goes bananas.
Listen, true. Ric Flair's going to wrestle his last match. Listen, Flair's going to wrestle his last match. He's going to find his way into that and make it a triple threat match to try to win it.
I don't want to think about it.
All right. Okay. And you know, that's been random thoughts with Rifkin at 12:42 in the morning on the time of recording of this podcast.
All right. Ooh. So that's going to recap.
That's a whole nother podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. So that's going to finish up the recap of Money in the Bank. So let's move on to what happened on SmackDown this week, because it ties in with Theory and Liv Morgan. We talked about Liv Morgan is going to face Ronda at SummerSlam. We also know what's going to happen with the WWE World Undisputed Universal Championship, that regarding Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns will face Brock Lesnar in a last man standing match at SummerSlam for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship. Now, here is where they're doing the right thing, and I'm okay with this. They are building this up as this is the last time. Now, I know they have lied to us about these stipulations in the past, but from the promos that they were showing at Money in the Bank, to the match stipulation of it being a last man standing match, and to the Paul Heyman promo that aired tonight, this being Friday, July 8th, they are building this up as this is Brock Lesnar's last chance at Roman Reigns. This is the last time they will fight. So here's the thing. If you honor that and these two kill each other at SummerSlam, I'm okay with this. But you have to honor that stipulation. That's just my thing with this. What about you two? How do you two feel about this?
I'm in agreement. Make this be the last time ever. I do not want to see this at WrestleMania this year again, where we have Brock and Roman for the seventh time at WrestleMania.
And to be fair, WWE, this was not the original plan. It was supposed to be Orton.
Once again, hey, you know, you call Brock Lesnar, Brock Lesnar will come in.
Right.
And especially now that, you know, Brock actually looks really healthy, we can maybe get a 30-minute match out of him finally.
Right. Mike?
That'll be the last time. It better be the last time. It better be the train wreck I want it to be. And I want to love it, but it better be the last time, because I never want to see this again. I don't. There are very few things I never want to see again. This is one of them. I don't need to see Brock versus Roman, and the loser has to take the new Roman, has to visit the Roman website after they lose, because that's the way this ends. That is the way this has to end.
Well,
because I think the fans are sick of it too. There's so many other things I want Brock to do before Brock leaves.
Right.
I want Brock Lashley again.
Mm-hmm. I want Brock and Riddle.
I want Brock and Gunther.
Yeah, I will say though, but like I said earlier, I think they've added enough to this and be like, all right, look, this is the last time, this is it. And like the way that they were building up is, you know, every story has an end and the climax has to be the end. The two warriors one has to never stand again. This match better be like,
it has to deliver.
It has to deliver. Here's the thing. If it delivers and you honor that stipulation, you know what? This will actually go down as one of the better SummerSlam main events. It will. But you have to honor that stipulation, because the second if you go back on that, it ruins it. Mm-hmm. It absolutely ruins it. And especially with the way you are hyping this up, because Paul Heyman said in his promo, this is the last time Brock Lesnar gets a shot at Roman Reigns while he's champion. This is the very last time.
See, that's also the curveball in this, because Paul Heyman says the last time when Roman's champion. They can just have Brock win and then Roman gets his
rematch.
Why you got to think like that, my friend?
Yeah, why you got to think like that? Well, yeah, but here's because, the other thing. Here's where
because I think of the person who said it, because Heyman could easily just turn on Roman and go back to Brock again.
Mm-hmm. Here's where I think this could get more interesting. I think what's going to happen is, this is personal, I think what's going to happen is they're going to have a contract signing, and Brock will sign it, and Roman will sign it. And I think Brock's going to win at SummerSlam. But the curveball comes is that somehow Heyman manipulated the contract to where it was only for the WWE Championship. It wasn't for...
I'd be totally cool with that.
I would be too. If they do this weird, you know, if they do this like sneaky heel thing where Roman like lost, but he still keeps one of the world championships, cool. That way you break the titles back up, Brock can beat Roman, and we're done with this. We're done. And then you...
If Roman wants the time off, have Theory do the cash in.
Yeah, you could do that. Or you have Drew...
Or he loses in the castle to Drew.
Which, at this point, it's just... I hate to say it, but it's kind of like a guarantee at this point, isn't it? Like, you're selling out a stadium of 80,000 people. You have to have a big moment. You have to have Drew go over. Right?
You can, but... Him.
I know.
Never forget Montreal.
Yeah.
That was a big moment for different reasons.
Well, yeah, completely different reasons. All right. So that wraps up what happened on SmackDown. To finish up this podcast, let's talk about what happened on AEW Dynamite this past Wednesday. The big news that happened was we now have a new TNT champion as Wardlow defeated Scorpio Sky in the night's opening match in a street fight to become the new TNT champion. Mike, Wardlow's new TNT champion. What do you think?
Two things. One, push Wardlow to the moon. He's that good. He's that ready. Two, I kind of feel bad for Scorpio Sky in all of this because it kind of felt like he's a transitional champion. He beats Guevara multiple times. Now he just holds it for however long, loses it to Wardlow. So I feel bad for Sky, but Wardlow's such a beast. That dude's a world champion. He will be a world champion.
But here's the thing, Mike, like what you said with Lashley rebuilding the United States Championship legacy, Wardlow can do that with the TNT title.
I just pray to Jesus, don't give me Wardlow and Guevara right away. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't give me Wardlow Guevara.
Yeah, don't do that. Apache,
Wardlow. Hey, no, good for it. Yeah, I heard. Good for him. Sorry, just in my camera. I'm standing right now.
You're good.
I'm having a little AC problem, so a little sweaty in my room. So, good for him. You know, much needed. You know, after coming out battling MJF forever, try to get free from him. Justice is served. All is right in the universe. Bad for Scorpio Sky. Hopefully he gets a rematch and we actually get a match instead of, a 30-second Goldberg match as we'll go.
It was a match. It was a good 10, 15 minutes.
We get those with Goldberg too, don't forget. But then, we get the 50-second squash match that, then everyone goes bananas over for some reason.
Right.
But good for him. And then when you're done, I just want to talk about the vignette from Money in the Bank.
Oh, yes. I did forget to mention that. During Money in the Bank and during every WWE show this week, this is back to WWE, of course, there's been a vignette airing of this, mysterious figure and all this creepy imagery. And, of course, a lot of imagery from the Attitude Era. There's a Latino Heat license plate. There's a Edge and Christian, a Hardy Boys band or something, like a band, like an armband wear.
You have the Dudley Boys glasses.
So a lot of references to the Attitude Era. So a lot of people have summarized that this is going to be Edge. So, Patchy, you had some thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's interesting because in the beginning, everyone's like, it's Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt's coming back.
I knew it wasn't Bray Wyatt.
I knew it wasn't Bray Wyatt either because as soon as I saw gold medal and then I saw Latino Heat license plate. Then I saw references to Dudley's and Hardy's. I'm like, oh, it's Edge.
See, I what's funny. Back. Sorry, go ahead, Patchy. Fetch your thought.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's going to be Edge. Hopefully, we. I'm not saying we get. You know, if the right they're going, it looks like it's a Brood Edge almost essence. But then again, you know,
Brood.
The new brood, since we had a new brood with the Hardy Boys. Mm-hmm. Everyone forgets about that. Don't forget. But then again, maybe we just get the Radar Superstar back.
That's what I want.
I want Edge coming out to Never Gonna Stop Me by Rob Zombie.
Okay. I just want Metalingus back. That theme song is so good.
But who teams with Edge? Because I'm assuming if, when he comes back, it's going to be him versus the Judgment Day.
I think he's just going to fight Balor one-on-one at SummerSlam, I'm assuming. That's what I would think. Just a funny thought, though.
This is all a plot twist. Go ahead.
The funny thought I had was, though, when I first saw it, because I didn't catch the Latino license plate, I didn't catch the Edge thing, I didn't catch the Hardy Boys and all that kind of stuff. I just saw the gold medal and I was like, is this Gable Steveson? What have they done to him? Because they brought me as like this Olympic wrestler, like the next Kurt Angle. And I'm like, whoa, this is a weird direction to take his character. But then I saw all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's Edge. I was like, I just thought that was a really funny moment for me. I'm like, what have they done to Gable Steveson?
See, my plot twist would have been it's the American Badass version of Taker.
No, let Taker be retired for God's sakes.
I'm just saying that could be the ultimate plot twist in all of this.
No,
we don't know.
Undertaker can be retired, but Mark Calloway can still come back.
He's just one call away.
Oh my God. All right. So that's going to do it for our Money in the Bank 2022 and all this real world issue recap here on the Face Turn podcast, part of the Sports Insanity Network. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Check out the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, that being Anchor, Spotify, Google, Apple, anywhere you can find them. Check out the website, www.thesportsinsanitynetwork.com, for the podcast episodes, Meet the Crew. We've got blogs, we've got new video blogs coming out. We got a lot of content flooding the Sports Insanity Network right now, so make sure you guys check out the website. But for Lawrence Patchman Lang, for the Pun Master Mike Rifkin, I'm Noah Trombley. You've been listening to the Face Turn podcast on the Sports Insanity Network. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Namaste.
Second that to your mom. Your mom loves you.